But here, having brought God's people over, we're going to look at Joshua chapter 5. We find that Joshua has led God's people into the edge of the promised land, over the Jordan River. And he's preparing for what he knows is next, confrontation. The battles with the people who call this place home. It may get bloody, it may get difficult. And during this period of his own mental and emotional and social preparations, an unexpected sign comes from God. Hear the word of the Lord from Joshua chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up, and standing in front of him, with a drawn sword in his hand, Joshua saw a man. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or against us?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. Just two things, Joshua says. The first one isn't even a prayer because he doesn't know who this is. This could be a guy who's lived in Canaan and is preparing to do his thing, to prepare his turf. But Joshua approaches him and asks him, "Are you for us or against us?" How brassy. How bold. He's carrying a sword, Joshua, and we don't have any indicator from the text that you are. You're just kind of scouting, looking out at Jericho, this mammoth city that's hugely protected, that no one has a clue how you're going to get into. And in the midst of that, I imagine, Joshua, you're thinking, and as most men do, maybe you're looking down, and we're told by the text that you look up, and you just happen to notice that there's this guy with a sword who looks, at least we would assume, capable of wielding it well. But I like, Joshua, your brassiness, that you are ready to step forward. You've clearly learned from the example of those who've gone before, like Abraham, who's willing to plead with God. Like Moses, who steps forward even though he's nervous and is afraid he won't be able to speak well, you go in the direction God has told you to go, and that's commendable. But I think about that. I think about how we live our lives asking that question, "Are you for me or against me?" And every day we get up and we think, "Is this going to work for me or is this going to work against me? Is this obstacle going to derail my plan or is it going to further my plan? Is this opportunity going to get me off track, or is it going to get me further down the right track?" Well, I guess you could say we approach all of our life this way. We're ready to go out and do battle as soon as we hit the front door. It's my day to figure out what's for me and what's against me and to push through. You ever feel like that? Maybe it doesn't even start at the front door. Maybe it starts as soon as your feet hit the ground out of getting out of the bed in the morning. What's that family member going to bring me? Are they going to be for me or against me today? Am I going to fight with them today, or are we going to live peacefully lives today? I don't know. Are the kids going to be difficult for me today? Is your mother-in-law going to call me and ask me a bunch of questions and have things to put on me today? Are you going to be for me or against me? Yeah, it's a lot like Joshua. Life is a lot like Joshua, isn't it? Every day, there's battles to fight, there's ground to take, there's things to move forward, and we've got to figure out how to prepare ourselves to handle it and go right in if we've got to handle confrontation, if something's against us, and how to get right up in line with and move along with the things that are for us. Yeah, We live in a fast-paced time and world and city, and people are moving all the time, and don't get in my way. And if you get in my way, I'm going to get quite ugly with you. If you stop me from making progress on my plans, then you're obviously against me, and we have to get through this. We even consider this to be good leadership. Where are we headed? What are our goals? What's up next? What do we need to be focused on? We do it with our business. Are we going to make our bottom line this month? We do this with our accounts. Are we going to be able to pay all the bills and make progress? Are we going to be able to reach our goals that we have for ourselves financially? Why do we even do it as a church? What are we about here? We need to have some things we're working toward. And I was so grateful when God gave us a sense of what those would be a couple of years ago. And he said, you know, this is a good time for you to be focused on the people I've brought to this neighborhood. What does it mean to do outreach in the Mandarin community? What does it learn to bless them and help them and try to show that we don't show favoritism, but we accept and love them just like we love ourselves? And I'm grateful for the ways in which we've taken up that charge and made it not against us, but for us. And we also decided that, look, we're a pretty strong church in the city. In fact, among our Wesleyan sister congregations, we really are the most stable financially and personnel-wise and our assets. We have the ability to really bless and grow ministry. And we should put ourselves to mothering our sister churches and church plants and new works and new things because we have the strength from which to pour out to others. And I said, yeah, that's a way not to say this is a competition and we got to be stronger than you and better than you and protect all our stuff and keep it. No, it's about being for that too. What a beautiful thing. And we want to engage our young adults that God has sent to us. They aren't as many as those of us who are past that stage, but we want to learn how to build relationship with you and care about you and reach out to you and do things that are meaningful to you. And we want to figure out how to adjust in ways that include you and build relationship with you. I want to be for you, not against you. I don't want us to become a bunch of old people who just keep doing the same thing all the time and it doesn't mean anything to the next generation. And I don't think you want that either. We're not against them, we're for them. And even our worship patterns. Maybe we need to adjust the way we do things in this house. Maybe we need to adjust what we do and what we include in the service together as God is leading us. Maybe we need to be open to what the Spirit might try new things and not just have to be my Methodist form all the time. Yeah. Let us be the kinds of leaders like Joshua who say, are you for us? Can we work on this together? Can we make advance? Can we take new territory for the kingdom of God? Can we fill out this land and make it a place of God's glory to be revealed? Let's stop being against, showing favoritism, and all those other things we've heard about already this morning and be reconciled to God, reconciled to each other. What a wonderful thing that is. And I'm so grateful for Joshua that you didn't just look at your own stuff in your own narrow territory, but you looked at this man, even with a sword, who you could have run from, who you could have drawn sword against yourself. But no, you went up to him and said, what's for here? What's our role with each other? How do we engage? See what's possible. See what we can approach. I think every day God puts in our lives people that we are given the opportunity to engage with. And sometimes we think it's just polite to just back off and mind our own business and keep our own space and not notice and not care and drive by and walk by. How many opportunities for the kingdom of God are lost? Because unlike Joshua, we pull back. Even in the midst of a crisis, a health crisis, we're told you should just pull back and insulate. Protect yourself. Wow. I don't know about that. Maybe you're wondering too. What are the new ways we can bless even in the midst of a crisis? What are the ways that we can care for and show kindness and do things that make sense that aren't putting additional risk at play, but at the same time continue to reach out in the outpouring ways God has called us? But you know, we still haven't even gotten to a word that Joshua has said. Except this, are you for us or against us? So we look on. If I can find the next slide, that'd be great. Ah. Joshua gets an answer. I'm not for you or against you. And I find that to be such an interesting response. Neither. That God is always so objective. That God is right where he promises to be. That God shows up right when he says he's going to show up. But he's not there for my personal benefit. And he's not there for yours. He's there for the good of everything that he wants to advance. And he's not really our personal Jesus. He's a God who's there for all the things that he wants to accomplish. And he comes alongside anyone and anything that's about his purposes in the world. The ancient fathers tell us that this person is not identified as an angel. Because everywhere where an angel shows up, the angel identifies themselves as a messenger of the Lord and that alone. And at every place where they speak to human beings, the human being's first response is to reel back or to kneel down in fear and reverence. And the angel's first response is always, no, do not worship me. No, do not revere me. No, do not make any symbol of me. I am not only here for a message. But not so with this individual. This individual doesn't resist when having heard Joshua, that he's the commander of the army of the Lord, who prostrates himself down before him. The ancient father said, maybe this was an appearance of the Lord Jesus before he became human. Maybe he came down, for he is indeed the one who's entrusted with all things by God the Father, and the one who has visited the earth that he created. Maybe, just maybe, Christ has appeared in this scene and we are not told his name, just as we are not told the name of the person who wrestled with Jacob all night long so many hundreds of years before. Maybe this is another time, another critical moment when God shows up to do what God so beautifully does. And Joshua's response seems to indicate he recognizes this as the Lord. He falls face down on the ground. And he says words, I like this version, this literal translation, much closer to the Hebrew language than the one that we just read. What has my Lord to say to his servant? I don't know if it will be a reprimand or a command or an instruction or a word of encouragement or a word of guidance, but whatever it may be, what would you say to the one who is your servant? Wow, what an excellent phrase. We could literally lift right off the page, put on our own tongue and say, and it would be appropriate every single day of our lives. Whether we're opening the scripture for the first time in the morning, or in the middle of a crisis situation at work, or just getting cut off for the third time in traffic that's horrible, we could offer these words. What has my Lord to say to his servant? And we might be surprised at what comes next. What does the Lord say to Joshua specifically? He says, take off your shoes. Really? Really? Take off your shoes? Why? And he gives the reason why. Because this space is holy. Now, we don't like taking off our shoes. And many of you will even stay home when we have our foot washing service on Maundy Thursday. And I've asked many of you about that. Tell me what it is. Oh, I don't want people looking at my feet. I don't want people touching my feet. I'm not comfortable with people seeing my feet. My feet are not pretty to look at. And I am not going to put myself in a place where I am going to be that kind of vulnerable. Now, there are only two reasons that God ever says that something is holy. And it's one, because it's something that he is very present with at that moment. And there is a certain need for all things in his presence to submit to him in vulnerability. Or it's because something is holy because it's associated with God and therefore it's holy. The church is holy because it's God's people. The building is holy because it's consecrated for his purposes. I visited our sister church, our Tamil church that meets here in the afternoons. And I've noticed they have a custom that when it comes time to come near the scripture to offer those words, the person who's reading them or the pastor does this, takes off the shoes. I was thought, it's a little strange. But as I thought about what this word means in its original context, that God says, I call you to be vulnerable when you are in my presence. I call you to be vulnerable when you're gathered with my people. Now that's difficult, isn't it? Because we dress up and look our best. We say we're fine when people ask us how we're doing. Oh, we're keeping those shoes on. And when it's time to pray, we want to go down and pray and pray at the altar, or we want to shed a tear, but what would people think? We're keeping those shoes on. But the commander of the armies of the Lord says, you want to know what I want you to do when you're in my presence? I want you to be vulnerable. Take off your shoes. Because the place where you're gathered is holy. But I found that when I'm vulnerable with people, they misinterpret my motives. Or they talk about me afterwards. Or they grill me about what I ought to be doing. I don't need any more of that in my life. You're right. You don't need any more of that in your life. I don't need any more of that in my life. But when I come to connect with God, and with his people, I'm listening because he might speak through the scriptures. He might speak through the prayer. He might speak through the music. He might speak through something that just passes between us in a moment. And am I going confidently in my beautiful shoes, or am I going with a certain vulnerability of heart that says, I'll receive whatever comes my way in this gathered space? For good or for ill, because it might be a way that the Lord is directing me. You know, it's funny that this scene ends right here, and we don't know exactly if Joshua took off his shoes or not. Because with this one word, it says Joshua did so. But that's the end. And we don't get to hear what comes next. Because it isn't for us. It was for Joshua. We just find that in the next scene, he's doing something very unorthodox for a military commander. He's marching people around Jericho's walls, and they're going to fight this battle by worship rather than with swords. How very queer is that? And we're led to believe that whatever it is the commander said to Joshua was, you don't need your swords. This one is enough. You see, God fights our battles for us. God is the defense for us. God is the one who offensively goes before us and clears the path. And even before we know what words to pray, the right words are, What is my Lord to say to his servant? What impressions do you want to put in my mind today, Father? What things do you want me to have to say, to share with other people? What ways will you call me to be vulnerable that perhaps I've been too afraid to in the past? What a powerful word to pray to God. As I thought about this, and I thought about what it means to be vulnerable in God's presence, to be vulnerable with God's people, which is really what not showing favoritism is all about. I'll be vulnerable with people that I like, people that I trust, people that are like me, people that understand me. No, I'm sorry. That's not how it goes. James speaks to us from the New Testament and says, I want you to be open, vulnerable, and exposed, and open to whatever I may show you through someone who's very different than you, and maybe even someone who's quite annoying to you. Like a cousin who's sniveling. I'm thinking about this. I'm praying into this. And I have words now to say, Lord, what do you have to say to your servant? And I hope to go with my shoes off. But let's turn back to the church for a minute and close this with this thought. This is the period of Lent when we commit ourselves to God and we commit ourselves to the places he's put us. I'm glad God has brought you to be in this church. And many of you have joined in membership as a way of standing in front of us and literally taking off your shoes, figuratively taking off your shoes and saying, I will be comfortable. I will belong here. I will call you brother, sister. I will fight with you. I will serve with you. I will admonish and encourage you. I will give myself. I will give my money. I will do everything I can to be present here, to engage with you. And I'm grateful for all 130 of you who have done that and hold with us and pray with us. And each year, our church law invites us to be vulnerable again and says, put away your pride, put away your status, and recommit yourself to the life of the church. Inside the pew rack in front of you, next to the hymnal, there's a commitment sheet. I'm going to ask you all to pull one of those out, whether you remember or not, because we submit to those who are in authority over us, as is Christ's command. I've even had a few of you say, don't you ever ask me to fill that out again, or I'm leaving this church. And I've had to say, I'm sorry you got your shoes on and your laces are strung so tight. But here's the deal. God calls us to be vulnerable to each other. And especially once a year to say, Lord, where am I? What message have you for your servant? There's two sides to this page. The first side is an affirmation. Yes, just like the day I joined this church and I took off my shoes and made it home. I commit to this. I will do this. I affirm this. I was baptized. I believe in Jesus Christ. I affirm the commitments. I affirm the ethical standards that God calls us to live by. I will give myself to serving in this way. Yes, yes, yes. Check, 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 check. And on the back side, you'll see that there's another side that talks about where we go from here, like Joshua. I will seek to experience the Lord in worship and service for his kingdom. I commit to this in the following ways with his people this coming year. Lord, what message have you for your servant? What would you say to me? I want to invite you to either fill this out as the Lord speaks to you today, or take it home with you and bring it back and place it in the offering plate on a future Sunday. But during the season of Lent, let us give ourselves, like Joshua, to taking our shoes off. Now, I don't mean literally, although you could do that if you wanted to. I'm not offended. But in every deep way, in every figurative way, in every relational way, to let yourself be vulnerable in this place. Take time to sign it, to print it. And if you're not a member, at the bottom there of the back side, there's two places that you might say, yes, I hear the Lord calling me, and I see his agents at work, And I will submit myself and be humble. I will be one who asks this question too. And maybe one or both of those boxes are ones that you would fill out and click as your way of saying, yes, I give myself to asking the question, even in prayer. Lord, what would you say to your servant? For I am your servant, and I long to be your servant. I'll ask our musicians to come forward at this time. Ask them to play in his time that song that we sang that was leading us in prayer. And as they do, if you want to respond and you're ready to do that today by placing that page in the offering plate, I invite you to come and do that. That'd be a beautiful expression of your coming before the Lord and taking your shoes off, as it were. Those who are members who don't choose to exercise this will be calling you to ask you the same question. Will you commit yourself to God's work to extend his glorious kingdom as Joshua did? Will you say, yes, I'll take up this charge. I will do as you lead me, Lord, and I'll do it here because this is where you've brought me. This is a place of promise, a place where so much can be for me and not against me, a place where you can further your kingdom in ways I didn't expect, ways you would use me as I worship you with all my heart and live vulnerable as you've called me to. How beautiful it will be. Father, we're so grateful that you are a God who visits your people in regular ways, but also in unexpected ways. And we're glad that you give us opportunities to commit ourselves to be your people, not in favoritism, not in defensiveness, not in protected, protracted responses that we call religious ritual, but always with open hearts to see what you call us to next. How we long to literally be in your holy presence, to be vulnerable to you, to each other. And as we make these commitments and as we pray into them, speak. Speak, Lord. Speak to your servants. Show us what you have to say to us. Make it clear to us in every way that you so amazingly do. And we will give ourselves to vulnerability that takes that in and welcomes the opportunity to be changed by life and all that you bring into it. Thank you for the chance to worship you today. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please come as you feel led as we sing.
To sing, be to